Matthew chapter 10, I'm beginning to read at the verse 24. Matthew 10 and verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the earth, or sorry, in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And the Lord will bless to all our hearts tonight this reading from his word. We're turning to Matthew chapter 10, please. The 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel. We're thankful to our brother for his kind words of welcome. It's been a blessing for us to be here today. We're thankful to all of you for your prayers for these meetings. And we're thankful to you as well for your encouragement as we have been among you. We thank our brother and sister, Melville and Eileen, for their kindness and their hospitality. We're thankful to them for taking us into their home for today. And we have enjoyed their fellowship very, very much indeed. And we pray the Lord might use this message even to speak to hearts in this gathering tonight. The text is Matthew chapter 10 and the words of verse 30, which says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. There was a very famous Greek poet by the name of Aeschylus. And let me tell you at the outset of the message tonight, let me tell you how Aeschylus died. He died in a very strange and singular manner. He was killed by a tortoise being thrown onto his head. An eagle was flying past, and the eagle, as it was flying through the sky, was holding in its clutches a great tortoise. And what the eagles would do to break the shell of the tortoise so that they could eat its flesh was to drop it from a great height onto a stone or a rock in order to break its shell. But the eagle mistook the bald head of Aeschylus for a stone. And as it was flying past, and it must have had better aim than some of the Second World War bombers, but as it was flying past, it dropped this tortoise from a great height onto his head. And as it came down and struck him, it killed him dead. So there's times it's a dangerous thing not to have a lot of hair. As I mentioned to you this morning, the subject for this service tonight was going to be, how much hair do you have? It'd be good to stop and think about that. Some of us don't have as much hair as we used to have. You may find the title a little humorous, and if you do, perhaps it's good if you laugh now, so that when it comes to the more serious part, we'll be able to drive home the message to your hearts. But just take a moment to think of how many Bible stories there are that are related to hair. Let me give you some examples. Perhaps the best known is the story of Samson. He was a Nazarite. The secret of his great strength was his separation unto God. And one of the marks of the Nazarite was his hair was never cut, or his hair was never shaven. And you remember that he was deceived. The Philistines came upon him after he revealed to Delilah the secret of his great strength, and they shaved his hair and he arose. And those solemn words in the Bible, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him, and they overcame him, and he was imprisoned. But the Bible says the hair of his head began to grow again. I've been praying about that for years, to no avail. But the hair of his head began to grow again. And God gave him back his great strength. And as a result of that, he slew more in his death than he did in his life. You think as well of the story of Absalom. The Bible tells us of Absalom that he had a very thick and heavy head of hair. He had his hair cut but once every year. And whenever his hair was cut, the Bible records the actual weight of it. The Bible says that his hair weighed 200 shekels. Now, I wonder, did you ever take time to find out what that weight actually was in our terms, or in our measurements? 200 shekels. That's equivalent to 6 pounds weight. Now, when you have your hair cut at the hairdressers or the barbers, and it's brushed into a little pile, and you hold it in your hand, there's not an awful lot of weight to it. You would have a lot of hair in your hands for it to weigh 6 pounds. So it gives you some idea of the thickness, the heaviness of the head of hair that Absalom had. And remember that his hair was a cause of his death. You remember how he was seeking to ride through the wood to escape for his life, and his hair caught in the boughs of the tree. And he was caught, and then he was slain. You think in the record of the New Testament, the story we have of Mary. Do you remember that Mary sat at the Saviour's feet? It's interesting, every time you read of Mary, in the New Testament. She's sitting at the Savior's feet. And she wiped the Savior's feet with her hair, put the ointment on his feet, and then took her hair and she wiped his feet with her hair. Does not give you some idea of the length of her hair to be able to do that. Even when she was sitting down, sitting at his feet, still to be able to take her hair and to wipe his feet with it. You think of the story as well of Elisha. You remember that they came out and they ridiculed the prophet, the little children, and they said, go up, thou bald head. And the Bible says that the she-bears came out and devoured them all. Those are just some. You will be able to think of others. I've just sort of started you off tonight. But there are many stories in the Bible related to hair. The Bible also gives us guidance about our hair. For example, the Bible gives you guidance about the length of your hair. Doesn't the Bible say clearly, plainly, that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? So there are clear references to hair in the Scripture. And here in our text, the Savior is speaking about the amount of hair that you have. Now let me point out to you that we're not thinking here about whether you have a lot of hair or no hair. When we come to consider this text, it's not a case of whether your hair is long or short, whether you have a thick head of hair, or whether your hair is actually thinning out. That's the sort of thing that we focus on whenever we talk about the amount of hair that a person has. What the Savior actually says in this text is that he knows the actual number of hairs that are on your head. I'd like you to think about that. He knows the actual number of hairs that's on your head. The text says, the very hairs of your head are all, every one of them, without exception, none left out. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows the exact amount of hairs that you have. It's not a tremendous thing. A few years ago, a German scientist decided he would count the number of hairs on the human head. He found that it varied depending on the color of your hair. Some hair colors of hair is thinner than others. The average was approximately 100,000. Now just take that in. Isn't that a staggering thought? The average number of hairs on your head, on the head of a human being, is 100,000. Isn't that an example of the wonder of the human body? That you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Can you imagine how difficult it would be for men to plant 100,000 of anything on an area the size of the human scalp? There's the average of 100,000 hairs on a head. Women with red hair, he said, had about 90,000 hairs. Women with black hair, 110,000. Blonde hairs, it's the finest of them all, 140,000 or thereabouts. And if you have brown hair, if you're a brunette, then you're somewhere in between. Now remember this. Remember this about those figures given by that scientist. They're only approximate. They're only approximate figures. I'm sure he missed a hair or two, and I'm sure there's times he counted hairs twice, or maybe even three times. But that's not what the Savior's saying, you know, in this text. The Lord Jesus is not saying that he knows approximately. He's not saying that he knows to the nearest thousand how many hairs are on your head. What he's saying is, the reality of the matter is, he knows the total, the exact total, down to the very last hair. That's a tremendous thing. How many hairs are on your head? How much hair do you have? He says tonight, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And there's some lessons that we can learn from that in the gospel. For one thing, it teaches us a lesson about God's plan. If you look at the text, literally it is saying the very hairs of your head have all been numbered. That's the literal rendering of it. The very hairs of your head have all been numbered. In other words, God planned the number of hairs that you would have. Just as He planned where and when you would be born, just as He planned who your parents would be, He also planned the exact number of hairs that you would have. I like that thought. There's all sorts of things said about men with bald heads. And maybe you're one who's been guilty of saying some of those things. Did you know that a few years ago in Japan, there was a beauty contest for men with bald heads? And one of the things that they looked for was the ability of the head to reflect light. The shiniest head won the competition. You would do a right bit of polishing, wouldn't you, if you entered a competition like that? It's interesting. But regardless, you know, regardless of what is said about baldness, the fact is this: God planned it would be that way. The reality is, we all have a Calvinistic hairstyle. In other words, the number of hairs that you have was planned. It was foreordained. It was planned by God before this world of ours was ever created. And I want you to get a hold of this fact tonight, men and women. If God planned the number of hairs that you would have, and that's a relatively minor detail, if God planned that fact, if He planned the number of hairs that would be in your head, then you can be sure that He planned everything else about your life as well. Remember, nothing happens by chance. Nothing. He foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. You asking tonight, why am I in this meeting? Well, the fact is, He planned it. He led you to this church. You may never have intended to be in a meeting like this. You can't understand how you came to be here. But I can tell you why you're here. The Lord brought you. The Lord has a purpose for you being in this gathering. And the purpose is, He wants you to hear the gospel. He wants you to hear of Christ and His love. And He wants to save your soul. Will you let Him do that tonight? There's a lesson here about God's plan. There's also a lesson about God's person. Just think of the wording of the verse. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now let me ask you, what does that tell you about God's person? It tells you that He knows everything about you. It's not a sobering thought. God knows everything about you. If He knows the exact amount of hairs that you have, and if He has known that fact from all eternity, then there's not a detail about you that He doesn't know. The fact is, He knows you better than you know yourself. No one here knows how much hair they have. Isn't that right? You don't know, and I don't know. Well, I might have more chance of knowing than you do. But let me tell you this, God knows. God knows all about you. Did you know that the number of hairs you have is always changing. You lose approximately 50 to 100 hairs every day. The number of hairs you have is never the same. It's not always the same. Would you know if you lost a hair? Would you know if a hair fell from your head? You might see the odd one on your coat or on your jacket. But generally, you don't know when the number of hairs in your head changes. But He knows. He knows how much hair you had yesterday. He knows how much hair you have today, and He'll know how much hair you'll have tomorrow as well. Just you take it in. He knows everything about your person, and He knows everything about your life as well. Didn't Peter say, "Lord, Thou knowest all things"? The Bible teaches the great truth that God is omniscient. In other words, there's no limits to the knowledge of our God. The psalmist said, "There's not a word in my mouth, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Isn't that sobering? There's not a word in your mouth. There's not a word that you speak. There's not a word that you ever uttered. Even if you sit in a meeting like this and you whisper to the person beside you, and not another soul in the meeting ever hears it. There's not a word in your mouth, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Do you remember the woman at the well? The woman at Sychar's well? She said to the men of the city, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." And men and women, that's what it will be like on the judgment day. On that day when you stand before God and the books are opened, you'll be told all that ever you did. Isn't that a fearful thought? There are things in your life, things in your past, you never want them to be known. You never want them to be revealed. There's a day coming when the secret things will be brought to light. And He will tell you all things that ever you did. Do you know what you need to do tonight in the light of that fact? You need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. The Bible says God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why do you need to repent? Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world. There's a lesson here about God's person. And there's one other lesson. And that is the lesson about God's passion. God's love. Whenever you love a person, isn't it true that you want to know everything about that person? You want to know their date of birth. You want to know what they like and what they don't like. You want to know their favourite colour, their favourite food. You ask all sorts of questions in order to get that information. You ask the person themselves, and if they don't tell you, then you ask their friends. The fact is, you want to know every detail about the person you love. And remember this, the fact that God knows all about you, the fact that He knows all about you down to the number of hairs you have, doesn't that tell you tonight how much He cares? Doesn't that tell you how much He loves you? If you want a proof, if you want an evidence of God's love for you, and it's not the greatest evidence, it's not the chief evidence of His love, but if you want an evidence of God's love for you, well, He can say to you, He can tell you the very number of hairs that you have. He says, "That's how much I love you." There's not a doubt about it, men and women. And I tell you this, not only does He love you, He wants to save you. He wants to save you in this meeting. And I ask you, will you let him do that? Will you open your heart's door? And will you let the Savior come in and be King of your life? I urge you to do that even tonight. How much hair do you have? The Bible says the very hairs of your head are all numbered. May God bless his word to every heart for Jesus' sake.